Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Disney World Week at the RV Atlas. It's a tradition at this point, so we might as well give a name to it. So this week is all Disney episodes, 3 episodes. The first episode, Stephanie broke down how we decided to rent somebody's DVC points this year to go to Wilderness Lodge. The second episode, we compared Wilderness Lodge to Fort Wilderness because we stayed there for 3 years in a row. And today we're going to talk about the highlights from our theme park experience. We went to the 4 major theme parks this year, so we're going to talk about Epcot, Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's.
Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. One of our favorite parts about partnering with Bass Pro and Cabela's is that it has encouraged us to really try new activities and outdoor, specifically outdoor activities for the family.
I never thought we would get into bird watching as a family, but we all love it. And if you want really high quality binoculars at a very reasonable price, there's no place better than Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's.
And then also things like archery, right? That can feel very intimidating, but it's actually one of our kids' favorite things to do at our nearby local campground. And we meet there with friends and all of the kids beg to go over to the range.
We gave them that archery set one Christmas, hoping for the best, and we've gotten tons of use out of it.
And in both of those cases, we talked to the staff in the stores, and we didn't say, hey, you know, we want to blow the budget on this. Like, we were really clear on having some really quality, just introductory gear. And I love the fact that they pointed us to something that we could buy comfortably within our budget, but then also it's lasted. Like, the archery set is great for us. We don't need anything fancy. We're not competing, and it works, and it's a good quality at a good value.
We are kind of competitive against each other.
Against each other. That
is one of the major things they get right at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. They have gear for experts that want really high-end equipment, but they also have gear for novices all in the same shopping experience.
All right, go to BassPro.com or Cabela's.com to outfit your next camping adventure today.
Now, let me make clear. We are going to end this podcast by talking about Galaxy's Edge, because that is something new and exciting that we did this year that is very high interest to everybody. So we'll start by talking about the other parks and basically just talking highlights, and yeah, then we'll do a bit of a deeper dive into Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, we've done a ton of content on kind of how we approach the Disney experience in the past, and we're not going to go over all of that again. Some of the highlights of that is just that we really do embrace the early morning thing, and I know that some people say, oh, we do the same thing, but we go in the afternoon. I'm sorry, I've been there from dawn till the evening show at this point, and there is nothing as quiet as that morning time. It's ridiculous.
You can't rope drop a ride in the afternoon.
No, it just
and even just getting on the transportation takes longer in the afternoon. Yeah. In the morning, the buses are pretty empty, at least when we go in January.
Yeah, and we've also talked about how we kind of approach the whole fast pass thing. There's so much content out there, too. I really want to, you know, I'm not a Disney mom in the sense that I follow Disney podcasts and Disney blogs all year long, but a little bit of research about whatever you're interested in doing that particular year really does pay off in spades from those people that are experts at this. I mean, there's people that go to Disney constantly and they do great content on it. So I always dip into some of that expertise before we go.
I've been listening to some of the Disney podcasts for fun, and I'm always like, oh my God, that person's been to Disney World 15 times this year. And I'm like, yeah, they're crazy. But then I realized, like, oh my God, we've spent 100 nights in our RV in a year.
Yeah, it's just different. I mean, we don't live around the corner from
now,
Disney.
Let me ask you a question. You were very reluctant to start going to Disney World. That first trip I thought would be our only trip. I honestly look at you now as this, like, awesome Disney mom who just has the system wired. And I think a huge part of the reason why you love going to Disney now, and I think this took you by surprise, is that there is excellent dining experience. There are excellent food experiences all throughout Disney. I think that's a huge part of why you love going now.
It is. I have fun with that part of it. I think that it's a balance between the whole family like experience and being together, but also feeling like there's that adult fun component thrown in. And I don't know if that's a newer thing that Disney has really developed recently. But
I think in the last 20 years, definitely. Yeah. 10 years, 15 years, yeah.
The adult component is definitely there. And I think I've tapped into it more over the years. Like, it was our second year there that I was like, I'm going for a massage over at the spa. Like,
I keep thinking I'd love to be going to Disney alone with you once.
Yeah. I don't know if I would ever do that. I mean, I'll never say never at this point, but I do think that I've learned how to enjoy the adult side of the Disney experience. So, and food's part of that.
So let's start out by talking about dining and the different things we did with food and dining that were memorable. Not every single meal, but the things that we really loved. So the first night we showed up, we checked in to Wilderness Lodge and we did Whispering Canyon. Now, we had a reservation for 7:15, but we got into the hotel sometime after 4. So I ran out into the lobby, ran over to Whispering Canyon and said, hey, can you guys get us in earlier? And she was basically like, if you can get everybody here in 10 minutes, I can get you into the, you know, right away. And we were all really hungry.
No, you were really hungry. And I said, please
get us. The boys were really hungry.
I was like,
it wasn't just
please
me.
Please get us an earlier reservation because I can't hear you talk about how hungry you are for the next
and our three sons. I know that you look at the four of us as this. Stephanie looks at the four of us as this collective blob of boy.
Yeah, you are. You are. It's a lot of boy.
So we got right into Whispering Canyon. We did eat there last year. And we loved it. I mean, we love Whispering Canyon. It's really good food. You order these family-style skillets that are like all you can eat, kind of. You can request more. It's not a buffet, but you can request more. And we love the food.
Well, I think that Whispering Canyon is off. I think it's actually underrated because I think it has a really good balance. Some Disney restaurants feel like they're geared more towards adult palates and some more towards kid palates. And I feel like Whispering Canyon kind of strikes a nice in-between where, like, even Wesley, and this is like an always in a stress, but even Wesley will find multiple things to
right,
eat, like
not
the green beans
chicken fingers.
And right, and like the cornbread and the chicken or whatever meat that he ended up having. So it just feels a little bit more easygoing as
now,
a family.
Whispering Canyon's not a character dinner. But it has character. It has
personality. The waiters and waitresses are like mean to you.
Yeah, they drop their straws. They'll kind of yell at you. They'll tell you that the water they're pouring you is from the bathroom.
Yeah, they're snarky.
And I will say last year our waiter was amazing. He was really funny. This year our waiter was just nice.
Yeah,
he wasn't like a character in the same way. So the experience could vary a little bit based on who's waiting on your table. And if you order ketchup, something funny
ketchup,
and crazy happens.
Yeah, all the kids have to go. The kids that have it at their table, like a bazillion ketchups, and they shout
they
it
all
out
end
there
up at
when
your
everybody
at your
has
table.
To bring you ketchup. Yeah, it's like a shtick thing, but the kids like it.
But Whispering Canyon did not disappoint. Now, the next night, I believe it was the next night, was your birthday. And so you had reserved Ohana at the Polynesian Village. And we also, we had friends at Disney on a separate trip, but we were meeting up with the three of them and doing Ohana together to celebrate your birthday. We had separate reservations, but when we showed up, Stephanie went up and asked if we could merge the reservations into one table. And they did. And we got the single nicest table in Ohana in the Polynesian Village, a huge table in the corner with window views out onto the bay. They call it a bay, right?
Mm-hmm. Bay Lake.
Mm-hmm. And gorgeous view of the fireworks. It was a really magical
Disney
night. It looks
straight onto the castle and the fireworks are going off over it. So we actually timed it so that we were sitting down right as the fireworks were starting and the whole thing was ridiculously amazing. Like, we were in awe. It was the best view you could have had and it was just a really fun experience. And the dinner was fantastic too. A lot of people were saying, this is like my favorite meal there. And I'm not sure, it actually doesn't rise up to my favorite meal. I think
I would agree. Same. Good. Yeah. Really good. good, not my favorite, but the experience was excellent.
The selection of appetizers was really good, like the dumplings and the noodles and like really everything on the appetizer was great. The wings, because again, adults loved it, kids loved it. We did end up having to ask for more of a kid's meal for Wesley.
That's the first time
I've done it, but I was just like,
we were all like frustrated. We're like, Wesley, you won't eat the chicken. You won't eat the shrimp. You won't eat the steak. And finally, I was like, do you have chicken fingers? And it's like Disney magic. A plate of chicken fingers, macaroni and cheese, and french fries showed up at our table in like 2 minutes.
And that's okay, because I'm not going to pay like $40 and then leave a restaurant with my kid hungry. Like, that's not going to happen. So,
How would you describe the main selection of food?
It was Polynesian. Yeah. I mean, it was just, and
they're basically giving you shrimp off a kebab.
Right. So they have all the meat like at the main wood fire, or roast a place. I don't know what they call that main cooking spot in the middle, but then they're bringing it around and giving you chicken or shrimp or steak off of the steak. So,
and there's a singer walking around playing guitar and doing games with the kids. And that was, I mean, he was really good.
Yeah.
And then the dessert, the bread pudding
was phenomenal.
Was legendary. And that's something people do talk about. That is one of those kind of really famous things at Disney.
Yeah, but it was a nice experience. It was a little bit fancier, I feel like, then. So it was the same price point as, say, the Hoop-Dee-Doo, the same price point as, I'm trying to think
of what else. The Hoop-Dee-Doo is not a character meal.
It's the same price point as a character meal.
Okay,
it's not a character meal, obviously. It's that, you know, it's just
a meal with entertainment.
Yeah.
Exactly. A meal with entertainment. So then the next really notable or memorable meal we had was our day in Animal Kingdom, which, by the way, we love Animal Kingdom. We'll talk more about that in a minute. We did a character lunch at Tusker House. It's a buffet. And would you say it's an Indian style buffet?
It was in Africa.
Oh my gosh. Aww. It's an African style buffet.
India, Africa, what's the difference, right, dude?
There's a big difference. I forgot.
This guy only ordered chicken Caesar before. Like,
you've made me more sophisticated when it comes to food. I really liked Tusker House, and I like doing a reserved character meal in the parks for lunch because it's such a nice, relaxing break. Like, you're doing all the crazy rides, you're running around the park, and then you get like this little oasis. Like, the Tusker House was like tucked away, hidden away. You wouldn't even know it's there. And you can really sit down and relax and unwind for a while and recharge before heading out into the parks. And the African cuisine was excellent.
It was delicious. I think that this was one of our best meals. The food quality is there. Now, the problem is you're kind of like not in the mood to eat a ton, I feel like, middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, I was kind of eating a little bit lighter. Are you getting your value? Yeah, but see, we really only like to do one character. We do one character meal every trip, pretty much. And so this was like the best. I like to try a different one. Last year we did the Garden Grill, which at Epcot, the kids loved.
I would do that one
way
again.
More than I thought they would. So this was a really nice way for them to say.
I think it had all the major characters.
Well, see, that's the thing is that our boys care about Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy. The big wigs. Like, they want to see Mickey, Minnie. We had Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, and Goofy. Here at the Tusker House. And that's really who our kids care about. Like, I can't take them to the Snow White character
dinner. And you had plenty of time for everybody to get photos with all of them, if that's something you want, that character experience.
Another reason is that I pay for a character lunch so that I don't need to stand in line for any of the character pictures. Right. Like, I don't want to do that during my time at Disney.
Now, back at Wilderness Lodge, we talked about this a little bit in the other podcast this week. Geyser Point had great food. And even if you're not staying at Wilderness Lodge, I might consider taking the boat over there.
If you have nice weather that you want to do an outdoor dining experience, that's a really nice place to eat.
Gorgeous water views, great sandwiches.
Upscale bar food, yeah.
Pretty darn upscale bar food. Yeah, great burgers, great sandwiches.
But not a bad price point. So it's like a steak sandwich and it's maybe $14.99, right? So that's a lot cheaper than some of your other dinner options might be in a casual environment at Disney.
And if you're traveling without kids, this would be a nice place for like a kind of a more 100%. Couples kind of dinner. Then a real highlight, I think this might have been my total food highlight this year. We did a fireworks dinner at the Rose and Crown Pub in Epcot. And we had and you paid more for it. We had a stunning view of the fireworks. Our table was right on the water, overlooking the fire at Epcot. But the thing is, like with Disney, now, and it wasn't this way when I was a kid, and people that have been going to Disney for decades will tell you, like, it's not just the experience. Like, the food is really good at Disney. Like, the food was awesome that night.
It was way better than I thought it was going to be. So here's the thing behind our food spending. Like, I do not buy the dining meals. And I actually, what we do is if we kind of eat at the, like, on the cheap at the other meals and then have, like, one sit-down meal a day, we actually spend less than we would spend because the two boys are now adults. So to buy four adult dining plans and then Wesley's kid plan, I've done the math on this. I never spend more. And I feel like we actually eat at more character meals, like expensive dinners, than we would be able to, because with the dining plan, you're like limited in what you can pick and choose. And you have this many credits for this and this many credits for that. So this way, I get to spend the money exactly how I want to spend it. And this was my, so here was my thing. This year was the first year that I decided, like I said, I always want to do something different, right? Like every year, it's like, what am I doing this year that's different? This year it was, I want to introduce the kids to the nighttime shows. So we haven't done that in the past. We really try not to burn out. No matter what kind of travel we're doing, whether it's hiking in a national park or whatever, we really try to not burn out. That is one of the ways that we did not burn out on Disney in the past, is we went home and we went to bed at a reasonable time every night. This year, everybody's a little older. I was like, I want to show them. I think that they'll enjoy it. We actually did the fireworks the one night at Ohana. We saw the Magic Kingdom show. We did the Hollywood Studios nighttime show. And we did the show at Epcot. And this was my big splurge. I was like, I don't want to sit in a crowd with the kids at 9 o'clock at night. So we'll get this dinner. And it was, you buy the package and it's expensive, but you get a table outside right on the railing, right on the lake.
You get three course meal. There was great soups. There was a selection of cheeses.
Children's options if they want to order off a separate
fish
one.
Fish and chips were excellent for my entree.
Yeah.
The dessert was excellent. The food was good all around. It was
the
a wonderful experience.
The food was way better than I thought it was going to be. I would have eaten at the Rose and Crown a lot earlier if I had known that it was going to be as good as this. I really had never heard that the food was this good.
We were sitting outside. Inside, it's like an authentic English pub. Like, yeah. It doesn't even look like a Disney version of one. It just looks like an English pub. It was really, really cool. Now, earlier that day, we had a light lunch, and for the first time, we walked around Epcot and just did small bites. And that was a really fun way to do Epcot. So we went to three different countries and just had three small little dishes
that
were really good.
Well, it was the arts festival, and so they had these special tasting menus at every country, like with just a couple of selections and a special drink. So I decided, well, we've done Germany for a sit-down meal. I knew we were going to do this fireworks dinner later that night. So I was like, I want to have a sit-down meal. So I said to the boys, look, if anything catches your fancy, like, that's what we're going to do, is basically just, like, you know, small bites.
So first was Japan, I think.
Yeah, we just picked and
choose. And we did, like, a beef dumpling that was awesome.
We had some dumplings that were really good. Then the boys actually had gelato.
Oh, my gosh, the gelato. I had gelato, too.
One of our favorite small bites for all of us was actually Morocco. So the boys had, like, this flatbread that they loved. And they're big fans of hummus. So there was like a hummus dish and everything. So we actually filled up in Morocco way more than we thought we were, because those small bites weren't so small.
But then in England, what was it called?
Oh, no. In America, the beef Wellington.
Oh, my gosh.
That was another
Wellington
favorite.
Was mm-hmm. delicious.
Yeah, the American beef Wellington, and they had a scallop there that we had. So, yeah, we ate our way around Epcot, and that was a fun way to do it. And this was the first year, again, that in the past, I felt like I had to feed my children, right? Sit down, eat. They're a little older. I can just kind of throw snacks at them at random places. So that was fun.
We'll talk about food at Galaxy's Edge at the end. We'll just do Galaxy's Edge all together. But let's talk about our theme park highlights. This was a different year for us. We've done 5 nights at Disney 4 years in a row, meaning 4 full days. And we've always done 3 days in the parks, 1 day chilling out. And we would rotate which parks we would do. Some years Epcot, some years Hollywood Studios, basically. This was the first year we did a theme park every day, 4 straight days of theme parks, and 2 days
free.
We went back at night. Why? How?
Because I went in to buy 3 days worth of tickets, and there was a special going on. Buy 3 days of tickets, get a fourth day free. Like, what am I not going to get a free ticket? So I went, and we each ended up with 4 days worth of tickets. So I was like, okay, look, we'll see how it goes. Like, how do we feel? We might as well use the tickets.
And the boys are getting older. So I think it worked this year to do a theme park every day, though. Like, to me, next time...
I still needed a day off in between. That
so fourth, next year, but next time I want to stay an extra day.
Then that's fine. Because that fourth, it still feels like, oh my gosh, we're doing it again. Like, we had fun every day. There wasn't a day that it was like, well, we shouldn't have gone in the park.
I was exhausted when we got home.
But it was like, it's too... I need that break. In the past, we've done 2 days of parks and then had a day off to decompress. And that's nice. And I think the boys even feel that way, too. I like their days off at the parks.
So tired when we got back from Disney. It was like the most fun trip ever, but I was exhausted. So the first day we did Magic Kingdom, and like, I'm Stephanie, would you agree? Like, there was nothing new at Magic. We had an awesome time, but there was like nothing new that we did this year that we didn't do in the past. I mean, we did a full on rope drop to get to Space Mountain, which was really, really fun.
Yeah, because we don't
fast
pass that. Yeah.
It was a chilly day, but we still got on Big Thunder Mountain. We did all of our favorites except for Splash Mountain, which is often closed this time of year.
We did more rides than we typically do because we're like done by 3:30, 4 usually.
And we did 10 to 12 rides.
But we waited a little longer in lines for ones that we had in fast pass than we have in the past. But we did a lot of rides, and the boys had a blast on every single one.
Now, every single year, we have all agreed Magic Kingdom was our favorite park. This year, some of us started to say that Animal Kingdom was the favorite park.
Well, Everest really is everybody's favorite roller coaster at the end of the day.
It's yours too. Everest is my favorite Disney ride by far.
So it's hard because even though there's things that we love at other parks, like, and also Flight of Passage. So we've fast passed that 2 years in a row. So here we are, like, on Avatar, Flight of Passage and Everest. And like the combination of the two of those, along with the fact that the boys do love all the other things.
The street performers, the street music. But let's tell the Everest story. We had a fast pass for Everest, and we were going to rope drop Everest so that we could do it twice. We went up to the rope, and they told us Everest was closed, mechanical difficulties, which Disney doesn't call it mechanical difficulties. They use some other term, whatever, maintenance. It was closed. And in the past, we've kind of had the experience where, like, if a ride is closed, like, sometimes it's closed for the day. That happened with Space Mountain. So we were all, like, sorely disappointed and thinking, oh, my God,
It was kind of like the day was a little...
Oh, my God, like, we're not going to get on Everest today. So we went and did... We went and did a couple other rides. We did the safari, which they said, oh, the animals might not be out because it's so cold. The animals were all out, except for the giraffe. We did the Lion King show, which I love, which is a really...
We had a really good lunch at the Tusker House.
Really great lunch at the Tusker House. And then we got the notification Everest was open. And so we headed over there, used our fast pass, and then... we went on Everest 5 times.
Because you guys did the single rider.
Me and Max and Theo and our other friends we were with, we did the fast pass one. Then we got in the single rider. Here's a great tip. If you're willing to do single rider, and you truly have to go on with somebody you don't know, like, there's a real slim chance they might have let you go on together. Yeah. But we had to go on with strangers.
Because if there's 2 seats, they fill it from the regular line.
It was an 8-minute wait. So we went on that ride 4 more times. It was so much fun. So
I'm
in an
glad
hour, Stephanie
Wesley
couldn't
wanted,
do single rider because Wesley was too young.
So I knew that Wesley wanted to go on again. So I said, that's fine. I will wait in the regular line with you. So Wesley and I waited for an hour for him to go on for a second time with me while the rest of you did 4 or 5
And
rides.
She's not bitter about that at all.
I'm fine with
Wesley
that because he loved
it.
That ride. Yeah.
The smile on his face after doing Everest, but just getting to do that ride 5 times was a special, special memory for us. I can't emphasize enough, and I wish the Magic Kingdom did this more, the street music and street performers in Animal Kingdom, particularly in Africa, are awesome. It is such a fun part of the day to just kind of hang out and listen to the music. Love Animal Kingdom. I don't know if I can get myself to say I love it more than the Magic Kingdom, but I'll call it a tie.
I don't think that there's as much. That's the thing. Is it just with Magic Kingdom, like, one ride could be down, but you still have, like, last year Space Mountain was down, but we did Thunder Mountain and Splash Mountain and, like, Pirates of the Caribbean and so many other favorite things. This year, if Everest had truly been closed, like, I think the boys would have felt like a little bit of a dud day because they were looking forward to it so much. So it does a lot rides on Everest and Flight of Passage, where I feel like at Magic Kingdom, there's so many different things.
Now, we had another fun day at Epcot. We talked about all the places we ate at Epcot. We did Soarin' again. We love it. And we were able to do that 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
The line was really short.
Yeah, it was. So we did Soarin' twice. And
Test Track was closed.
Test Track was closed. So again, there's not a lot there that it's like...
We enjoyed a leisurely stroll through the countries.
That was our short day.
And the boys really do like taking a leisurely stroll through the countries.
We went, we did the Soarin', we did a couple of the other rides, and then we just went through the countries and ate, and then we went home early that day for a pool time before we came back for dinner. So that worked out well for us.
All right, you ready to talk about Galaxy's Edge?
Okay.
Initially, we had said, we're not even going to bother with the Star Wars rides. Like, it just, we'd heard they were so crazy, the lines were so long, and we hate waiting in line as a family a lot. But then once we got to Disney, you had gotten the 4th free day, like, okay, we're definitely going to Hollywood Studios. And you got to understand, you
Hollywood
can't...
Hollywood Studios is really tough right now, because I had done all of my research. Like I said, I think it's silly to go into a Disney trip without doing your research. You just aren't going to have fun, like, if you're trying to figure it all out while you're there. So I had really been following along with this thing and really trying to be deciding whether we're going to play this game or not. And I was on the fence still when we went. I still didn't know, to the extent that I thought we weren't, and I actually hadn't made any reservations that I might have made if I knew, like, you know, like to eat or whatever.
Well, there's no fast passes for the big Star Wars
rides.
But
that's not the only thing. They also changed the entire fast pass system for that park in a way that they haven't done with any of the other parks. So they now have tiers. So if you choose one fast pass in this top tier,
like,
which includes all the good
rides,
when you choose one fast pass from every good ride, your next two fast passes are duds.
Like you had the Muppets
as a fast
pass.
Because there's nothing else to choose
from. And we're like, okay, it's cute, but I don't care about doing it again.
Nobody cares. So the whole thing was, I was kind of like, oh, this is going to be a dud day. So we were there and we had done a couple days at the parks, and I laid it out for the boys. I said, look, guys, I want to tell you how this goes. Here's the deal with Star Wars. If we want to do it, we have to do it right. This is the only way we can do it. We have to get up, be at the park by 6:20, be all the way through tickets, be all the way through security, and we have to be in the park by 6:45 in order to get in there. And I said, and if we do that, we have a pretty good chance of getting in there.
And this is why we had to do that. To get on Rise of the Resistance, which is the huge new ride, there's no fast pass. You have to physically be in the park before 7:00, all of the people in your party, and you have to try to get what they call a boarding group.
Yeah.
And it's random
in the
at
app,
that point.
You hit the boarding group, you sit, sign me up,
and
sign
you
me
hope
up.
And pray.
Right.
And you might get a boarding group that doesn't board for 6, 7, 8 hours later. So you were like, if we're going to do it, we're getting in there.
Well, and I said, look, if we want to all decide together that this is something we want to do, I'm on board. But I'm not dragging anybody out of bed. I'm not going to deal with anybody complaining. I'm like, we're either all in or we're not doing it.
And
this.
We were all like, let's do it. Everyone was just like in that gung-ho
mode.
So everyone was real tired and everyone starts drifting off to sleep. And I set my alarm for 5:30. So that we could wake up early the next morning.
We had a lift scheduled for 6 a.m.
We had a lift scheduled.
I scheduled it.
Because we got a tip from a bus driver. Bus driver said, don't come out here and get the first bus because it might be a little later than you want it. He said, get a lift to pick you up even earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So we booked a lift for 6:15.
I think I actually booked it for 5:45 or something.
So set my alarm for 5. As I said, I set my alarm for 5:30. And then I woke up the next morning at 6 a.m., and I freaked out, and I was like, oh my God, what happened? And I had set my alarm for 5:30 p.m. So I start basically screaming in the hotel room, waking everybody up, rapid fire, crazy.
So
the
kids
all look
nuts
and
bonkers. And it's like, your Lyft driver will be here in 5 minutes.
Yeah, Stephanie's like, the Lyft driver's in 5 minutes. You somehow got dressed and ran out. You're like, I'm going to stop him. You have to get everyone else ready. That's a crazy decision to leave me with the 3 boys to get them dressed. I will never forget Max's stunned look on his face. He opened his drawer and was just staring in it, looking for pants. I was like, Max, what are you doing? He's like, I'm looking for pants. I was like, well, you got to move the clothes around a little. Like, you got to like, and he's like, no, I'm looking for pants. Like, he was like a zombie. So So then Theo and Wes claimed to be ready. And I said, guys, go run out there. Because Stephanie had texted me like, I'm in the lift. I'm holding the car. The guy's not happy.
Yeah.
So Wesley and Theo run out. And this is, I am not proud to admit about what happened next. So Wesley and Theo run out. And then I'm waiting for Max, who's like, can't find pants. So, all right. So then Max gets ready. And I'm like, all right, Max, let's go. Max and I run out in front of the DVC building. The lift was over in front of the other building. And Theo's out there. And I'm like, Theo, where's Wesley? Like, you left together 45 seconds ago. And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, you don't know where he is? It was pitch blackout. And so then the three of us are like, oh my God, where's Wesley? I'm panicking. I text Stephanie. I'm like, we can't find Wesley. We have to run back into the DVC building. Apparently, Theo turned left and Wesley turned right at one point in the hallway. And Wesley went out the back of the building to where the pools are.
Which the doors during these off hours are, they close and they don't reopen unless you use your magic band,
which he didn't know how to do. So he was standing out there. And by the way, this all happened really, really quickly. But yes, we misplaced a child
to try and get
on a ride at Disney World. Now, Wesley was upset, but he was reasonably okay about this.
He was just standing
there. We've been giving the children more independence lately. So I recover Wesley. I text Stephanie. I'm like, I have everybody. And she's like, oh my God, hurry up. This guy is going to kill me. So we get out there and he took us. He got us there. But we were officially behind schedule. And we got to Hollywood Studios. We probably pulled in the lift at 6:30 stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it was good timing. It was fine. We got through the security and everything. It was okay. And they were only doing like the simple verification, not like the finger verification at the gates, I guess, to just move everybody through faster. So like the whole thing actually worked fine. And then you get in there. But the thing was, we were just like, we're not going to rope drop anything because we're so far behind. But we went over by the Slinky Dog anyway, just to see.
And at that point, it was like 6:40, 6:45.
So we just stood there.
So we made it into the park.
Yeah, we did it. And we just stood there waiting for that 7 o'clock, literally. Now, I'm not gonna, like, we're saying this, by the time you go, they could totally change the system. Disney's changed it already a few times since Galaxy Edge.
But let's explain how what we're doing. We both have the My Disney app open. And we're both like hitting the button.
Well, no,
join boarding group.
Okay. The boarding group is grayed out until 7 a.m. on the nose. And then
you told me some people say it's happening earlier at 6:58.
So I was watching it just in case it was, but it didn't. It happened on the nose, and I actually jumped out and jumped back in to get it.
Like,
that was one of the fit places. That's one of the things that I think that I did that made it get faster than a lot of other people. So then we hit it at 7. As soon as it turned that color, you hit it, you choose all the people in your group, and I got boarding group
21. Now, you guys got to understand, Stephanie just gave a great tip because I didn't go back and refresh and go back in, and I'm just sitting there hitting the button. I got nothing. She gets boarding group 21, which is awesome because people are getting boarding groups up into the 90s, even in the early 100s, I think.
I don't know. I think they cut it off earlier than that.
I heard people in the 80s
and 90s. Well, there's like a waiting thing where it's like, you're probably not going to get in, but we'll give it to you anyway, like standby boarding
groups. So you could get a boarding group and not even get on the ride. So people around us are yelling, I got 48, I got 62. And I'm like, oh my God, we got 21.
Yeah, we did well.
So we were thrilled because we were thinking we might have to go back to the hotel.
Yeah.
They give you 2 hours warning to get back, and we were going to come back to the park later in the day. Well, now we're like, oh, let's just stay in the park. And some of you were like, well, what are you going to do in the park at 7 o'clock? Well, the rides were open.
But you couldn't have a fast pass for anything. So that was the whole
thing. So we ran to Slinky Dog, which is a new roller coaster in Toy Story Land. Slinky Dog is the bomb.
Yeah. So we did Slinky Dog.
Awesome roller coaster.
Then we got off Slinky Dog and we were going to wait for our fast pass for Rock and Roller Coaster. But our boarding group was called like
pretty early.
Really early. It was about 9 o'clock. And a little before 9, actually. So we went right there because I was like, this ride has a tendency to break down throughout the day at random times. So let's go now. So we went over. We did Rise of the Resistance.
Awesome. It was one of the best Disney rides ever.
Amazing. It was really fun experience. Much more interactive and experiential.
It's like you're in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different type of ride. It has the virtual reality thing like Flight of Passage at the end. But then there's these other steps. It's like somebody said it's like three rides in one. And it kind of was like three lines in one. And there's like actors in it. There's like stormtroopers in it. Like it was phenomenal.
The kids loved it. And then we did our other fast pass, you know, the Rock and Roller Coaster. And
do you love Rock and Roller Coaster?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's it a little is bit crazy. Of a crazy roller coaster.
Like, honestly, anything crazier than that, I might be out. Like, that's my limit.
Yeah. So by the time it came, and then we went back to Galaxy's Edge because the boys, like, wanted to hang out in that Galaxy's Edge so much more. Like, it was just really cool. The whole, the way they have, like, the stormtroopers and everything walking around, looking
Kylo Ren and the stormtroopers walk around and, like, yell at people.
It's a little spooky.
They'll, like, walk right up into your face.
And we got, like, blue milk and green milk and...
But it looks like you're on another planet in the Star Wars movie. They nailed it. The nearest comparison to me is the Harry Potter land at Universal. Like, you really feel like you're walking around in the Star Wars movie. I thought they nailed Galaxy's Edge. I really did.
It was amazing. So you do want to maybe get a reservation. Like, I hadn't bothered to get a reservation to eat there because I really wasn't sure how this day at Hollywood Studios was going to shake out.
Right.
Because
we didn't know if we'd be there.
I had a fast pass for Rock and Roller Coaster, and that was it. Like, that was pretty much all we had.
We had your Muppets fast pass, which we ditched. Like, I don't mean to be hating
on
the Muppets.
So I wasn't sure, so I hadn't really made a reservation, but, like, you should. So you should make a reservation at Oga's Cantina, I think, to eat.
So that's a reservation only, or just at night?
No, but you're just not going to be able to get in.
So we didn't go. We didn't do that. But we did a lot of other stuff there. We did Star Tours, which is not technically in Galaxy's Edge.
It's a fun ride.
I would consider Star Tours part of your Star Wars experience there. But they get a lot of the little details right, like Disney always does. When you pay for something, they say, well, that'll be 21 credits instead of $21. When they give you a receipt, they say, do you want a cargo slip? They had the special droid-shaped sodas, which were adorable and made for a nice souvenir, the souvenir bottles.
Yeah, the boys specifically wanted that for a souvenir.
The boys also wanted lightsabers, and they did not do the expensive make-your-own lightsaber. They bought the budget $40 lightsabers. And then we had a really nice lunch at – it was Docking Bay 7 – and somebody recommended that because we were in the other really busy place. And the guy was like, you know what? It's really much quieter around the corner at Docking Bay 7. We all thought the food was really good.
So it was like, it's like all like space food. Like they make it look like these like.
Yeah, like the chicken looked like it was like a rectangle.
Food.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was like spicy and flavorful really good. And it was like a nice relaxing place to hang out. Then we did leave.
Yeah.
We did leave and go back to the hotel. Because we decided we're going to go chill, do the pool, come back that night, and do the Smuggler's Run ride.
Well, this is the thing. It was such a trick for me whether we were going to actually share a lot of information about Hollywood Studios. Because like I said, I just feel like it's all so different and weird right now. And I don't know that it's going to be like this for a long time. But because of all this morning hoop-de-doo, the bottom line is that then at night now, the ride times, there's no waits because everybody's going at 7 a.m. and then everybody leaves.
Everyone's exhausted. So we got on Smuggler's Run in 15 minutes.
Yeah. So at night, all the ride times plummeted. So that's another. So the strategy that's now working for Hollywood Studios is completely different than any other park. So if you're going this year, this is 2020, I highly recommend that you dial into the most current information about Galaxy's Edge and Hollywood Studios in general. Really make sure you're looking at an article that's up to date, because I actually read an article that was written a week before we went that completely showed me how everything was working in a way that the articles from 2 months earlier didn't.
If it stays this way, lock in, get up early. I would even recommend the Lyft so you really get into the park early. Get your boarding group, then make a decision. If your boarding group is earlier, hang out in the park for a while, and then go back. Go back to the hotel. Go back to Fort Wilderness. Relax. Once they call your boarding group, you have 2 hours. So you can go back to Fort Wilderness, go back to your hotel, and then still come back for your boarding group. If you get a later boarding group, that could be a really good way to do it.
Yeah, and I think that just in general, if you kind of think about more riding some of the rides, it, like 5 p.m. past, when I was looking at the app and all the wait times, like they just plummeted at that time. I couldn't even believe how low they were.
Yeah.
And then they went back up a little bit right before the show.
So you're saying like almost no matter what. Like maybe do the morning and the evening at Hollywood Studios.
For sure.
Unless like, you've got
right
a bizarre
now,
boarding group right in the middle of the day.
Change it and they go back to the former fast pass system where you can actually fast pass three good things. But right now you can't. So it's just a weird thing. And I'm really glad we decided to kind of buckle in and do it. I wasn't sure about it.
It ended up being our favorite day, tied with Animal Kingdom. And I will say, Smuggler's Run, I think is every bit as good as Rise of the Resistance. And we got on it in 15 minutes. That's a great ride, too.
Yeah.
And then the Star Wars show, which is out in the center area, was really, really cool. Yeah. It was really good. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. So well worth going back for the Star Wars show, too. So, Stephanie.
Yes.
What's your favorite theme park?
No, I don't do that. I don't do that. No. I mean, no. What's yours? You go ahead and answer.
I guess it'll always be Magic Kingdom. And it's more sentimental than actually what I enjoy the most.
Yeah.
Because I could just hang out. You said there's less to do at Animal Kingdom, but you don't need to do as much because you can literally just chill out, hang out, have a Dole Whip, listen to street performers, do that Lion King show. I think that Lion King show is better than any of the shows at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
If you're deciding which three to go out of four, I'm going to say drop Epcot.
Oh, you've always said that. All right, everybody. I'll see you at the
campground. We'll see you at the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, Jayco, Thetford, Cabela's, Jellystone, and Go RVing. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.